Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building one of those little DNB details that instantly makes a loop feel older, dirtier, and way more alive. A chopped vinyl ghost note layer that sits behind your main drums and bass like a haunted memory of the groove. We're in Ableton Live 12, and the goal here is not to make a flashy effect. We're making atmosphere. Something subtle, flickering, and a bit damaged. The kind of layer you barely notice on its own, but once it's gone, the whole track feels flatter. That's the sweet spot. This is especially useful in old-school DNB, jungle-influenced rollers, darker atmospheres, and anything where you want the space between the hits to feel intentional. In this style, the empty gaps matter just as much as the kick and snare. Ghost notes live in those gaps. They glue the break together, hint at motion before the drop lands, and add that chopped record character that feels like it came off a dusty dubplate, not a pristine sample pack. Let's start with the source. Pick something short and simple like a 1-bar or 2-bar break, a single snare hit with a tail, a dusty amen fragment, or even a short bass stab with some texture. The key is that it should already feel a little recycled. If it sounds too clean, the end result will fight the vibe. Drag the audio into Live and listen for a part with a strong transient and some interesting body behind it. We're not looking for a full loop here. We want a small fragment that can become a ghost of itself. If you're working with drum material, set warped beats. Then experiment with the transient setting so the chop feels sharp, but not robotic. If it's a tonal stab, you can try Complex Pro, but for this style, a more direct audio slice or simpler usually sounds more convincing. The roughness is part of the charm. Now right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Use transient slicing to begin with, then clean it up manually if needed. Try to keep only a few useful slices. 3 to 8 good slices is usually enough. You're not building a giant kit. You're building a very specific texture. Look for slices that have a nice transient, a bit of noise, maybe some room tone, maybe a pitch tail. Those are the ones that feel alive when repeated. Put them into simplers on the new MIDI track, and if one slice really works, duplicate it across a couple of notes so you can vary pitch and timing later. Rename the track something obvious, like Vinyl Ghosts or Chop Atmos. That saves a lot of time when the session gets busy. Now comes the groove. Program a simple 1 or 2 bar MIDI pattern, and think around the kick and snare rather than on top of them. Ghost notes work best when they live in the spaces before and after the main anchors. A really good starting point is to place one hit just before the snare, one just after the snare, then another between kick accents. Leave some gaps. Don't fill every 16th. The breathing room is what makes it feel like a real chopped edit instead of a busy percussion loop. Here's an important coaching note. Think in damage control, not perfection. Old-school ghost note layers often feel slightly flawed in the best way. Tiny timing differences, uneven levels, small pitch drifts. If it sounds too polished, back off the cleanup. The slight instability is what sells the vinyl feel. Use velocity like a human would. Keep most ghost hits low, maybe around 20 to 60 velocity, and let 1 or 2 accents rise higher if you want a chop to poke through a little more. That dynamic contrast is a huge part of the style. It tells the ear that this was performed or assembled, not just pasted into a grid. If your main break is busy, be sparse here. If your drums are more stripped back, the ghost layer can do more rhythmic work. The rule is simple. Complement the groove, don't mirror it. Open simpler and shape the sound. One-shot mode is usually the best place to start, because it lets the full slice breeze naturally. Gate can work too if you want tighter control, but for chopped vinyl character, one-shot often feels more authentic. Now filter the top end a bit. In simpler or with auto-filter, start low-passing somewhere around 6 to 10 kHE depending on the source. That keeps the layer in the background and gives it that dusty, worn edge. If the slice is too bright or pokey, shorten the release a little too. Somewhere around 40 to 120 milliseconds can help the chop feel tighter without killing the tail completely. You can also transpose the slice down a little, maybe -3 to -7 semitones, if you want a darker pocket. And if you want a little extra wobble, a tiny glide or occasional pitch shift can make repeated notes feel like they're sagging off an old turntable. A really effective move is to use clip envelopes or note-by-note pitch changes. Just a 1 or 2 semitone dip on selected hits can make the sample feel worn and unstable, like the record isn't sitting perfectly flat. That's the kind of imperfection we want. Another subtle trick is to offset the start position of a few slices so they fire slightly differently each time. Even a few milliseconds of variation can make the whole thing feel chopped by hand. Now let's dirty it up, but carefully. We're going to use stock Ableton, devices to make this sound like a battered record fragment rather than a clean WAV. Start with EQ8. High pass the layer somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz, or even higher if the source has a lot of low end. You do not want this fighting your kick or sub. If there's mud in the low mids, dip around 250 to 450 Hz. If the chop is a bit pokey or papery, tame a little around 2.5 to 5k Hz. After EQ, add saturator. Push the drive a little, maybe plus 2 to plus 6 dB, and use soft clip if needed. This is not about smashing it. It's about adding density and a bit of grime. Then try redux slightly. A little bit of bit reduction or downsampling can give you that slightly broken, old media feel. Keep it subtle. If you hear obvious digital destruction instead of vintage roughness, you've gone too far. We want texture, not confusion. Follow that with auto filter. A low pass anywhere between 4 and 9k Hz can sit the layer back nicely, and you can automate that cutoff later for movement. A little filter motion goes a long way here. If you want more glue, try glue compressor with a gentle ratio, slow attack, and only a dB or 2 of gain reduction. Or use drum bus very lightly for a touch of crunch and transient shape. Again, this is shadow work. The layers should feel like atmosphere, not a second drum bus. A useful mental model here is contrast. The sound should be short enough to behave like a chop, but smeared enough to feel like a memory of a sample. Too short, and it becomes percussion. Too long, and it becomes a loop. We want that middle zone. Now for movement. Static grime gets old fast. The real old school feel comes from instability, so automate a few things over 8 or 16 bars. Try slowly opening the filter before the drop, then clamping it down again after the fill. You can also automate saturator drive a little higher in the transition bars and ease it back once the drop lands. If you're using pitch changes, add a few tiny nudges to select ghost hits so the phrase feels a little warped and handmade. Reverb can help too, but keep it restrained. Send a few tail notes to a short, dark reverb return, something around 0.8 to 1.8 seconds decay, with a little pre-delay and a filtered top end. Works well. You want distance, not wash. If you want extra ghosted trails, add echo on a separate return, but keep the feedback low and filter it heavily. In a D&B context, echo should support the movement, not clutter the groove. This layer works really well in arrangement. You can introduce it in the intro with the filter quite closed, then slowly open it in the 4 or 8 bars before the drop. Then cut it sharply when the main bass and drums hit. That contrast makes the drop feel bigger. That's a very classic D&B move. The ghost note isn't there to steal attention. It's there to make the section before the drop feel like it has history, tension, and motion. Now let's tighten the mix. Keep the layer narrow or mostly mono. If your source is wide and noisy, use utility and pull the width down, maybe anywhere from 0 to 40%. In D&B, the sub and main drum image need to stay controlled. The atmosphere can be wide only if it isn't muddy. And remember, if the layer still feels too obvious, lower it and let the transient detail do the work. Ghost notes should be felt as groove before they're heard as a sample. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't make it too loud. If you can hear it as a separate loop, it's probably too far forward. Don't use full range samples without filtering. Don't quantize everything perfectly, because that kills the human push-pull that makes old-school grooves feel alive. And don't overdo the distortion or bit reduction. Degradation should suggest age, not destroy the rhythm. Here's a pro tip for heavier D&B. Duplicate the MIDI and transpose the copy down an octave, then filter it hard and keep it very low in the mix. That can add a haunted little weight underneath the main ghost layer. Or resample the whole processed phrase once you like it, then cut new phrases from the resample. That often sounds more authentic than endlessly tweaking MIDI. Another strong idea is to create call and response between two ghost sources. One slice can be clicky, the other more tonal. Alternate them every bar or two so the ear hears a conversation, instead of a repetitive loop. That's a great way to keep this atmospheric without making it busy. You can also use a very short stutter just before a transition. Take one slice and repeat it on a very fast grid for a beat or less, just enough to create a flicker. Use that sparingly. In D&B, a little bows a long way. If you want a really practical workflow, build three versions from the same sample. Make one dusty and subtle for background atmosphere. Make one slightly more present for pre-drop lift. Then make one damaged and aggressive for fills or transitions. Same source, three different energy levels. That's super useful in real sessions. To practice this properly, spend a few minutes on a single break or stab. Slice it. Keep only a few useful fragments. Build a two-bar pattern. Add EQ, saturator, auto filter, maybe a little glue compressor, then automate the filter across 8 bars. Resample the result, and make a second variation with a different pitch or chop pattern. Drop both into one of your current DNB projects and test them against the drums. And here's the real test. If you mute the ghost layer and the groove loses some depth, you've done it right. If it only sounds good soloed, it's probably too busy or too obvious. In this style, the best layers are the ones that serve the track. So to recap, start with a short sampled fragment, slice it into a few useful pieces, program sparse ghost hits around the drum grid, shape the tone with filtering and light degradation, and automate movement so it breathes across the arrangement. Keep it narrow, filtered, and low in the mix. Make it feel like a chopped bit of vinyl with a memory of motion.